B-Pod Studios.
The Felger and Mazz podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
A sports hub. Are you ready for this? It's Felger and Mazz.
That's stupid. My God.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, it's been really good. It's been normal. I think everything he's done so far has been really good. I think the communication is the most important part, and trust. I think it all starts with that when you're with a new coach, and he's done a great job in controlling the room. I feel like everyone's on the same page. Just got to continue to do it. It's a marathon, not a sprint, so we know that. And he's obviously had great experience in the NFL and at Alabama where I was at, so there's a lot of good stuff that we've talked about, and just looking forward to working with him.
Final hour, Felger and Mazz. Mac Jones today, addressing the media for the first time this offseason after an early spring practice, asked about the work with Bill O'Brien and how it's gone so far. And he says, it's been normal. It's been normal, which I think was a telling comment. Joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline is Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal. The big boy was down at Gillette Stadium today. Would you concur, Greg, that it was normal today down there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it seemed like a very professional, crisp practice, especially from the offensive perspective. The ball was not on the ground very much, which is always a good sign early in the off season. And so, yeah, I think that it was back to normalcy for that side of the ball. I mean, that being said, I will say that, you know, my opinion from 1,000 feet away and no insight on this is that, you know, I would term Mac Jones as sort of somewhat distant in this practice. There were times where Bailey Zappe was, you know, taking snaps and, you know, instead of being with other guys on the offense, Mac Jones was sort of off by himself. I thought it was striking that it was, he was sort of in between Bill O'Brien and Bill Belichick, sort of off by himself. But later in the practice, Jones spent a lot of time with David Andrews. They were talking with Billy O'Brien. I just thought, you know, it just struck me that it was a little bit tepid, that there's some work there to do, but I think they're off to a good solid start.
In terms of truly trust and buy-in and all on the same page, you're wondering if they're fully there yet.
Yeah, I think they're sort of everybody, and this includes O'Brien, because he's not a guy who, you know, despite some of his reputation, he's not a guy that steps on a lot of toes. He sort of, you know, walks quietly, especially, you know, entering sort of a new situation. He very much defers to Belichick. And I think it just sort of looks like everybody's tiptoeing around each other. Like they don't, you know, I wouldn't say they're on the greatest of terms right now. I wouldn't say it's bad, but it's just they're not sure what to make out of each other. And I don't think, to me, it looked like there hasn't been any sort of, you know, clearing of the air sort of thing where everybody's like, all right, it's not like Bill got them together and said, okay, look, I screwed the pooch last year. It's all on me. Let's all start fresh. Mac, let's go. I don't think anything close to that has happened.
First glance, Greg, how did Jones look?
He looked good. You know, he looked comfortable. I will say that today's practice, and again, I don't want to read too much into one practice because these things are often scripted and they're installing different stuff, even though they're quote unquote voluntary. Today just could have been a deceptive period because there were a lot of like slip screens, quick passes, read options. Like there was a lot of that stuff. But I will say that it seemed like O'Brien's definitely brought stuff from college. There seems to be an emphasis on using the space all over the field. I thought the spacing was really good all over the place. That was an issue big time last year. But I thought that Mac Jones looked very comfortable with what was going on and executed really well.
Bailey Zappe, his usage, did it stand out to you in any way?
Yeah, I thought, you know, so from observing this the past few years, especially the Cam Newton, Mac Jones year. So I thought it was interesting that, you know, they opened up with, I guess I would term it sort of a jog through of 2 minutes. And I found it interesting that Mac Jones went out with the starters against the starting defense. And then Trace McSorley took the second snaps. And you're just like, okay, well, I wonder what's going on here. But then Bailey Zappe got the third snaps but it was back with the starters against the starters. And that's those are the kind of things that went on periodically, sort of under the radar, when Mac Jones was competing against Cam Newton. And, you know, it's not indicative of anything, but I do think, to me, from observing this team, that means that there's still a bit of a competition, you know, going on at some point. We'll see how much they force it as probably training camp goes on. But there's no question that as practice went along, Mac Jones was definitely getting the starter snaps. Bailey Zappe was definitely getting the backup snaps. I will say, I thought Zappe had one impressive out throw where he gassed it a little bit, and it sort of, you know, stood out to me a little bit. So, you know, he looked comfortable. He looked crisp. You know, I thought it was all good things for the offense today.
Why did that throw stand out? Because did he show a stronger arm than Jones has?
I wouldn't say that, you know,
settle down,
definitely
Maz.
Because I know where you're going with this, yeah, Maz, exactly. And I'm not going to fuel you and Murray with your vendetta against Mac Jones. It was definitely for Zappe, who I don't think zipped the ball very much last year. It showed me that, you know, he's been working on some things. Still, probably the biggest thing that stands out about him is he's freaking small. I mean, Jones looks like a giant compared to these other two guys, you know, relatively speaking. And Zappe also had trouble with pressure and seeing over the line a few times, a few sacks, a few pressures.
Greg, so Christian Gonzalez, the rookie corner, the first-round pick, wasn't there today. And I would think that, you know, a rookie needs to be there as many practices as possible. He feels like the guy where he was drafted is going to be important to the defense. Do you have those same kind of concerns at all?
A little bit, Jim, but, you know, in my experience from covering these things, a lot of these guys coming from college have things that they need to finish up, whether it's, you know, graduation requirements or graduation itself. And so it's hard to read into it. Also, you know, I think the schedule was changed around a little bit, you know, since they got busted. So that might have also factored into it. But, yeah, definitely disappointing not to see, you know, Gonzalez and White out there, you know, their top two picks. That they have certainly a lot of high hopes for, I would think. One thing on the rookies, I will say probably the thing that jumped out to me the most today is, you know, Marte Mapu is out there in a red jersey. I think he had pectoral surgery in the offseason. Despite all that, during the jog-through session, he was out there as first-team sub-linebacker, which is, to me, it's unheard of that they have a rookie who's not even healthy out there taking those kind of snaps. To me, that says they have huge plans for that kid.
Greg, he's really small, right?
I mean, he looks like a linebacker to me. I mean, I know he played safety, but, you know, he looks like a typical rookie. He's not defined yet. He has another 2, 3, 4 years worth of growing and filling out. But, you know, he would motion out with the back out of the backfield. You know, it's sort of like, you know, a smaller, probably a little bit more athletic as far as quickness, straight out running, you know, Jamie Collins type of guy, like, you know, which I think is good because I think Jamie got, you know, a little bit too big and wasn't quite as athletic as he was early on in his career as his career went on.
Greg, what'd you make of Bill Belichick's real ringing endorsement in support of Joe Judge today during his presser?
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, typical Bill, and he's, you know, he's protecting one of his guys. I mean, his guy, his handpicked guy, screwed up and cost the team and cost himself, but you know, Bill's going to go down with his guys, as we saw last year, one way or the other, and so it didn't surprise me very much. He loves Joe Judge. I will say, in my experience from talking to people around the team, I think Bill's one of the few that has that belief in Judge, but he, you know, we've seen it. Bill has developed blind spots for certain people. It cost him last year. I don't think it's going to cost him this year. I mean, it has to this point, but in the big picture, you know, Joe Judge was mostly like exiled to the other practice field, watching over the kickers, barking special team stuff during those sessions. At one point, I did see him over near the offense, and I wanted to see if Mac Jones like winged a ball at his head or anything like that. Nothing like that happened, but it's definitely a different job responsibility for Judge this year.
And how'd you think about Belichick and the way he answered the questions about losing those OTA practices and in the past and not even, you know, budging an inch on that thing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I heard some of what you had to say earlier. I would concur with you. I mean, it's, you know, he's the only coach in the NFL that can get away with answering questions like that. I mean, he's just, you know, you just wished on occasion that he would show a little bit more of his human side. I mean, you know, how much more good would it have done this team, especially the quarterback, if he just would have come out at some point and just, you know, landed on the grenade and just said, look, I thought the offense was going to work last year. It didn't. It's on me. Blame me. Everybody has a clean slate now. We're starting over again. We're not talking about last year. It's over with. We're going forward. But of course, he doesn't do anything like that. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't reprimand his coach that screwed the team. Like, it's just typical Bill stuff.
Greg, some of the early tweets we saw coming out of there said that Kendrick Bourne was a real active, you know, part of the workout today. Did you see the same thing? Was he, because his drop off last year was one of the real, you know, I would say undercovered stories, if we can say that. But what was it like with him today?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, to me it was typical, you know, Kendrick Bourne, you know, when he's not relegated to the doghouse for, you know, whatever reason. I mean, I've always been a big fan of Kendrick. I think he's a really good player. I think Mac really likes him. He could be a real weapon on this team. And I think, you know, it was his usage, among other things, was one of those things that got out of sorts last year. I thought that Tyquan Thornton looked a little thicker, as did Cole Strange. I thought that Tyquan Thornton did a nice job. They're throwing a variety of guys out there. The two tight ends were out there a lot together. We saw some six offensive linemen work. They're touching on a bunch of things. Of course, the Malik Cunningham worked at solely at wide receiver, the quarterback from Louisville, until very late, the opportunity session very late. So, you know, they're getting everybody into the mix. I thought, you know, Pierre Strong was featured a lot. Ty Montgomery was, you know, we saw a little bit of Robinson. You know, it's just initial impression from watching this team. And again, they were missing a lot of their marquee players today, which was disappointing. But, you know, with what was assembled, you're just like, well, you know, they got a long ways to go. How many impact guys, you know, do they have? And they're going to have to use everybody and every blade of grass, I think, to be productive on offense this year. And that's what it seems like they're working towards.
Okay, big boy. Good phone. You on a landline?
Yeah.
It's sort of like one of those internet phones, somewhat landline.
Screw that. Is it an internet connection?
Well, it sounds good.
Yep.
Who cares?
It sounds good. You're right.
It does sound good.
Well, if it's an internet connection, I don't trust it. If it's a corded phone, I trust it. If it's an internet,
it's better than my cell, so I went with this.
And go F itself. You sounded great.
Forget the phone. I don't trust the big boy.
Bedard, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Anytime. See you guys.
Okay.
See you,
Greg. Couple things there, you know, the body language there with Mac Jones, still a little tentative there with Mac Jones and Belichick and the all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, good. Zappy, better arm than Mac Jones.
Yeah, he didn't say that.
That's how I took it.
Yes, obviously, it's how
you
took
it also.
All right, get back to that. You have a couple of Patriots calls on the board, I see. We'll get that and the Celtics, open line if you want it at 617-779-0985 to you after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Belger and Maz continues on the Sports Hub.
Bill, can you help us understand what Joe Judge's role will be with the team this year?
Yeah, he'll do whatever I ask him to do. It might change from time to time. He'll be involved in a lot of things.
Will he have a focus, like, some kicking game?
He'll be involved in a lot of things.
Does he have a title yet? Is he assistant head coach?
Yeah, we'll announce our staff. You know, we've got a couple things to still work out, but announce it soon.
Is his situation, though, similar to, like, what you had Michael Lombardi do?
Yeah, every situation is different. I mean, Mike never coached.
He did a lot of things for you, though, right? You had him do a lot of things.
Yeah. Joe's great. Smart guy, got a lot of experience. We'll do whatever we need him to do. And he can do a lot, so he will.
So the Joe Judge, Matt Patricia thing is not over. Because Joe Judge is still here. What's he doing, Bill? What's his role? Whatever.
He'll do whatever I ask him to do.
Whatever I ask him to do. Like I said, it's the gimp down in the basement. Quasimodo is freaking henchman. Rocco, whatever I ask him to do.
The only way that comment could have been worse is if he said he does whatever I tell him to do, right, instead of ask.
But it's pretty much the same thing. So what? He's going to come out of his personal bathroom and hand him a plunger? You're going to want to take care of that.
Whatever I ask him to do.
He'll do whatever I ask him to do.
He doesn't even... Bill, I may have understood how badly that sounded, but it's like... It's just... Are you here? Are you here for the most qualified people to make your team better? Or
no, he just wants people to do what he tells him to
do. You just want Dubois, cheap Dubois.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, you want to have a lunch? All right. Just go over and clean that table for him. Yeah.
Joe's great, smart, a lot of experience. He can do a lot, and he will. Great. So still Joe Judge. But meanwhile, he's mostly here because he's cheap. Basically free labor.
And kiss his ass.
And he will kiss the ass like you read about. It wasn't but a year ago that Joe Judge basically told you exactly what his job was. So just put that comment from Bill Belichick. What's Joe Judge's role? Whatever I ask him to do. With what Joe Judge said last year. You have that cut again, Jimmy?
The assistant coach's job is real simple. Make the head coach happy.
It's just embarrassing. It's like, yeah, it's just such an insight into what Bill is going on down there on his staff. And the other thing earlier that was that I gave you a few minutes on, go to the podcast if you want the full rant. But I just thought, Bill, on this small thing where they lost a couple OTA practices, and the way he answered those questions today, I think is just so unique, and not in a good way, but so unique that he is the only coach in the league and maybe in sports that could get away with what he does, which is completely skirt any sort of responsibility or accountability. They lost the two practices over Memorial Day weekend because Bozo here, Joe Judge, scheduled workshops that were outside of a 4-hour window that players were allowed to, or, you know, that they couldn't be in the building for more than 4 hours. And Judge, with these stupid workshops, had them there for more than 4 hours. And they got caught and they lost some practices, and Bill lost $50,000 because of it. So Bill was asked about it. We put a couple different questions and answers together. It's hard to hear the questions, but this is just a sample of what it sounded like today on that issue down at Gillette.
All right. Well, it's good to good to get back on the field here today. We had a situation with some scheduling in phase two.
You mentioned working things out from the phase two. Can you just explain from your standpoint what?
That's in the past. We moved on. Looking forward to getting out on the field today, Mike.
And is everything with Joe Judge? Were you on board with everything he was doing?
We're looking forward to getting out on the field today. All in the past.
Losing those two OTAs, how does that affect preparation, if at all, for
this upcoming
season?
A good long weekend.
Thanks for relaxing. What, was it disappointing to lose those two OTAs?
Yeah, we're looking forward to getting out there today.
Bill, just judging from your tenor regarding Joe and the OTA stuff, would it be unfair for folks who read the reporting on it to conclude Joe screwed up?
Yeah, the whole situation's in the past. It's resolved, and we moved on. So, like I said, it was three phase two meetings.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that your words about Joe make it seem as if, you know what, it's not one person that someone should be.
Look, I'm responsible for it, so that's it. All right.
Fair enough.
In the past, we're moving on. In the past, looking forward. In the past, we're moving on. We're looking forward to being out there today. Like, it's just... I mean, all he had to do was just say a couple of sentences like, yeah, we messed something up there, and so we're looking forward to getting back on the field and making up for lost time. Simple as that. No one is to blame. We're all to blame, and we're sorry it happened, because we missed some time, but we're good, and we're going to try and make it up today.
That's all he had to talk like a human being.
Yeah.
As opposed to the
defiance.
Oh, my God. It's in the past. Moving on. In the past. And I don't think there's any coach in any other, on any other team would be allowed to get away with it. First of all, most of them would just take it upon themselves that something that affected the team and the organization would just, okay, as part of my job here as coach, manager, I'm supposed to speak for the organization on these kind of matters, so I'm going to speak to it. I don't have to give you state secrets, but I have to give you a few words on it because that's part of my job. The vast majority of coaches and managers would feel that responsibility and live up to that responsibility. Not this guy. And then the others that wouldn't would be have to answer to a manager or an owner, like a general manager or an owner, that would say, we expect, you know, just a level of humility on this one. Just a small match, a small deal, small thing, but not here. Bill's allowed to do that whenever he wants, and it's amazing. I think he's the only guy that's allowed to handle it the way that he handles it.
What you just said is in the past. Let's move on.
All right. Anyway, back to your calls on everything. Mark in Easton has been waiting patiently. Mark, thank you for hanging on. What do you got?
No problem, fellas. You guys know me. I'm not a fan of Mac Jones, but God, does he sound like the adult in the room between the two of them. It's amazing how much more poised and, like, professional he sounds versus Bill. And
you mean now?
He's been like that for
today.
A while. But yeah, today and in the past, really, he's just been more courteous. And it's amazing that Bill, you know, hates Mac for being bad at his job, but loves Joe Judge, who's worse at his job than Mac Jones has ever been at his.
Excellent point,
that's a
Mark.
Great point.
Excellent. Joe Judge blows harder than Mac Jones could ever dream of blowing. And Bill's all in on Joe Judge. Why? He's cheap and he keeps his mouth shut and kisses the ring and the ass. Mac Jones, just the opposite. So Mac, but caller, when you say that Mac Jones handles himself with more maturity and professionalism than Bill Belichick on this, Maz has a problem with that.
Yeah, again, like I'll give you this so far this year, okay, or this season.
Today.
Yeah, today.
It's today. Right. Today. Last year? Oh, stop. Would you please? He was a freaking child. All he did was he threw a tantrum every time something went wrong. He didn't exactly handle adversity well. And by the way, how do you think that affected the team? Like what? Here goes Mac again, losing his crap.
I think most players were with Mac Jones on this.
Yeah, not all.
Not all. I didn't say all.
Not all.
I said the gang of five.
I said most.
Yeah, and is that the time, though, to lose your crap? Like on the field yelling at the coach? Meaning Patricia, not Bill.
No, I understand. In week, whatever he started doing that, week 14, it had enough.
Yeah, play the game. When it's time to play the game, play the game. And then afterward, you and your teammates can go get ice cream together and bitch. That's what you do. Go get your little fribbles.
Jay in New Hampshire on the Celtics. Hi, Jay.
How's it going, guys?
Okay.
So very quickly, I'm going to try to do this in 20 seconds or less. I'm not a giant basketball guy. Did I not hear Coach Rizzulla say that that clip he played, he was concerned with they were taking too many easy twos?
Yes.
I thought that was a wet dream for a team. Nope. Apparently, in his world, that is that no, we don't want any part of that. By the way,
now, I'm going to stop you. That was part of his.
Yes.
Did you have that, Kevin?
Yeah. No. We weren't making shots. We were making layups.
So this is March 3rd. It's the first cut we played, Kev. I don't know how that's labeled there for you, but March 3rd, they blew that big lead to
Brooklyn.
And when asked about it after the game, he said, I knew I was in trouble. Well, listen to this. I knew I was in trouble. We were getting too many easy twos. Go ahead.
Is there something like, is there a matter of you guys hitting shots but not liking the way you're playing? Because it seemed like shots are going down, but it seemed like the style was getting a little...
It's funny you say that. I actually was more nervous in the beginning of the game because we shot less threes, and they were shooting more. And so they were 2 for 11, and we were only, I think it was maybe 3 for 6. So I was actually worried because we were scoring, but it wasn't because we were making shots. It was because we were getting layups.
Stop.
Worried about them. Oh,
think
no.
Think of that line.
They were worried about all the layups they were getting, and they didn't like that they were 3 for 6 from behind the line. Really nice, efficient 50% shooting percentage. But they didn't like the fact that they were 3 for 6 and Brooklyn was 2 for 11. Because, again, in their world, 2 for 11 is better than 3 for 6.
Correct. Yeah. No, we were scoring. But it wasn't because we were making shots. We were getting layups.
Again, that go back and listen to him after the game on March 3rd when they blew that lead to Brooklyn. And you understand exactly how they want to play. And how they play in the playoffs, it makes perfect sense.
I mean, the only way it could have been worse is if we were making dunks. I mean, then everything's completely screwed.
Final segment of your wonderful phone calls comes your way after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We're back with more Felger and Matt.
The Boston Celtics are who we thought they were. They got to the moment and they did not look like they were ready for the moment. All of a sudden, all the shots were short again. All of a sudden, they looked like they couldn't play basketball with their left hand again. All of a sudden, they looked like exactly who we thought they were. I texted a friend earlier and I told a friend earlier, like, it would not shock me if Boston go out here and choke, because they're going to go back home. They're going to feel like, oh man, we home, and they're going to feel like they won already. Like when I saw, like if I'm on Miami's team and I saw the way they were celebrating and like the things they were doing after game six, I'm immediately showing this to my teammates, like, yo, look at these dudes. Like, they think they already won something. Like, let's go smack them. Like, because they already won. Look at them. Like, look at their body language. So if they think they won already, we go smack them.
Put aside the source there for a second. I know it's hard to. Draymond Green, who you hate. I get it. He hates you. So, yeah. Not exactly an unbiased opinion. However, it's an opinion that Big Jim Murray concurs with 100%. Am I correct in saying that?
That is correct, yeah. And I think the ending that they got is ultimately what they deserved. And no one should have been surprised by it, because I think this is what this team has been, especially since the All-Star break. They're front runners. And they did act like they won the whole damn thing on Saturday night after they stole Game 6, because I think they expected the Heat to act like they would have in that situation. Oh, they're going to be mentally crushed after that. We got Game 7. All we got to do is show up. And how many times have they lost games just thinking they can just show up and we'll beat you with the talent? But no, that's not the Heat. So, you know, like, I wasn't all that surprised by it. It was just so them that, of course, they give you this big tease. Down 3-0, looking at a sweep. They bring it to Game 7. They crawled back, and then they blow it in Game 7. And basically, it was like a no-show of a game.
So, Big Jim Murray had an opus of a Celtics rant at 3 o'clock. Go back and listen to it on the podcast. I recommend it. 98.5thesportshub.com or the app. Again, I'll just give you the bullet points. Tatum and Brown are fake superstars. True or false, Mass?
False. Half false. Tatum's a superstar. Brown isn't, but Tatum is.
You want to elaborate on that quickly, Murray?
Well, I think that Tatum has the talent, but he's too soft. I don't think he's wired the right way. There's no killer instinct there. And I just think this is what you're going to see. Like, the Carmelo Anthony comparisons are apt. Like, yeah, wildly talented, but you just don't have that it thing. I mean, Durant, too. Durant had to, like, fly around and go to the Golden State Warriors and go to a super team to finally get that ring. That's probably what's going to happen with Jason Tatum. And then Brown, I think he got exposed as a fake superstar because of the lack of talent. I mean, his performance in Game 7 was pathetic. Eight turnovers? And like you said earlier, all you got to do is make him go left to get those turnovers? That's bad.
Murray said, you're never going to win with these two.
Not here. I mean, again, they'll have to go somewhere else, and Tatum will have to be the Durant on another super team. I don't see it happening here. This thing's trending the wrong way.
Game 6 was a fake win, he said.
Yeah, they stole that one. And, okay, fine, the Celtics played to the buzzer, but when you shoot 20% from three, when that's your calling card, you kept coming out and trying to win Game 7 the same effing way, they stole that game. That thing should have been over Saturday night.
This team is made up of babies and frontrunners, Maz.
True.
He asks, why is Tatum skating? Why is Tatum skating from criticism? Other than Philadelphia Game 7, Tatum sucked this postseason. Why is he not getting more criticism? I think this is fair. I think it was just assessing Game 7, it was easy to let him off because he was obviously pretty banged up.
Yeah, so there was going to be some recency bias there. Sorry to cut you off, yeah. But like with Brown, because Brown was so bad in Game 7. But, I mean, if you look at the greater overall picture of the postseason, Tatum, like, and especially in the fourth quarter losses to Miami in this last series, was terrible.
Murray believes this is going to continue to trend the wrong way with these two and this team. So what does that mean next year, Murray?
Well, they'll be out in that second round.
So you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, yeah. Finals last year. And this year it's the ECF. And then next year it'll be like, you know, round two against Philly or whoever.
Okay, full rant. Go to the podcast. I'm going to zip through these calls here before we hit the final word. So be quick, please. Lewis and Lawrence on the C's. What do you got? I said Lewis. Okay. Is he up, Jimmy, just to make sure before I hang up on him? Okay. You can call us back. We got Don in Nashua. Hi, Don.
Hey, guys. I want to bring up ankle gate. You know, Tatum had his chance. He could have limped off the court, went in, got taped up, and then all the crowd would have been, oh, my God. And then when he come out, he would have been the big hero. And, you know, the Celtics would have won. Well, that's my Disneyland anyway.
So he should have taped it up? I don't even get what you're talking about.
Yeah,
theatrics, you know, yeah. More tape. Bring him out in a wheelchair, like Pierce a million years ago. Like, what is that? What you're looking for?
Yeah, I just think again. I don't doubt that he was hurt. You never heard me say he was faking it. I don't think that for a second. I think he legitimately had a problem and got worse throughout the course of the game. I also think he made it clear that it was bothering him, and I don't know that that's always the best way to do it.
He played it up a little bit.
Yeah, when you're playing a game 7, don't let your teammates know that you're hurting.
Christian in Foxborough on the Patriots. Hi, Christian.
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I knew Judge had a somewhat of a role here, but to hear Bill say, yeah, he's going to be involved in a lot of things. I mean, just as a fan, I mean, if you don't get scared, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Have a good one.
I missed what you said in the middle there. I'm sorry.
That Joe Judge, Bill Belichick did say today that Joe Judge is going to be involved in a lot of things.
Yeah.
And he said, if you don't get scared as a Patriots fan hearing that, well, maybe you're not paying attention. But that's true. He'll be involved in a lot of things. Like, well, what else?
Agreed. Yeah. Bill will do it just to be stubborn. You think he sucks? I don't care.
Right.
It's my guy. I'm going to give him this assignment, and he'll screw it up.
He'll do what I tell him to do.
The reason I zoned out there for a second is that I do have a developing opinion or late-breaking opinion on Tatum and the injury that I haven't articulated. But, Vinny, can you just cue up the injury again? Because I the more I look at it, the more I think it's a possibility. That was Gabe Vincent on the deck, right?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I think Gabe Vincent kept his leg out there on purpose. And I don't think that he, now that I just see that angle, maybe he didn't. I don't know. Gabe Vincent could have gotten his legs out of the way. And I think he kept him out there. And if Tatum tripped on him, then he tripped on him. All the better.
Let's see this again.
And not that he meant to do it. So then I'm just seeing a reel of wincing. Yeah. No, but the original thing, I just sort of wonder, because Gabe Vincent's leg outstretch. I wonder if he just kept it out there.
Yeah, I rule out nothing when it comes to crap like that.
Which isn't dirty. It's kind of smart, but yeah, just leave the leg out there, and if he trips over it, he trips over. It's not my fault.
I mean, look, no two injuries are alike. Vincent had one earlier in the series and missed the next game, and it was a similar kind of thing. He rolled his ankle outward. Now, he played in the next two games after that, but you know what? He was never really the same factor in the series that he was before that. So, again, I don't doubt that the injury was legit.
He left his leg out there.
Maybe those fancy shoes that he was so proud of, too, just aren't as supportive as he thought either. Hmm?
Oh, are those the new JT whatever?
Sure are. The JT1s. And also, you know, even if you find it dirty, what do you win a game 7 with this team for?
No. I'm just saying, I don't find it dirty. I find it, well, I just got knocked to the ground. I'm going to leave my leg out there. If he trips on it, he trips on it. I don't know. It's kind of a thing a tough team would do, or like a smart team would do.
Oh, I don't rule that out for a second. Again. But the fact that you went 7 allowed for the possibility of you getting an injury.
The point is, you should have wiped these guys out in 5, and absolutely, it would come down to Troy Vincent and his leg on the ground. Nassan in Nashua. Yes, Nassan. Or Hassan. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Hassan.
No problem. There's another thing, too. Didn't Jimmy Butler also roll his ankle in the game, too? And yes. Then he was asked if his ankle is 100%. He responds, nobody cares. You don't either. I'm still expected to do my job at a high level if I take the floor, which I will. I just want to juxtapose that with Tatum's response to his ankle, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
It's no further comment necessary.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The mindset of one versus the mindset of the other. It's a good point. Todd in Amherst. Go ahead, Todd.
Yes. Where is Gallinari, and will he be back next year?
Gallinari, I'll just stop right there. Gallinari.
He's still under contract, yeah.
Well, I mean, do we know that? Because he posted today, and you know Italian, Maz. He did tweet, my 15th season in the NBA is over, and then he had this whole, you know, Instagram-y type post. I would have liked to have played. I would have liked to debut in this jersey in front of these amazing fans, blah, blah, blah. But he finished with the hashtag, a tutto Batori. What does that mean?
A tutto to everyone, and I don't know what Batori is. I'd have to look that up. How do you spell it?
A-T-U-T-T-O-M-O-T-O-R-E. A tutto
Batori. To everyone love.
Oh. Well, either
love to everyone.
So he's gone.
He's gone. He's the first Celtic gone.
Interesting. Gone.
Maybe. I guess.
I didn't even know this happened.
No, me neither.
So I'm sorry, caller. I guess I should have kept John for an extra second to find that out. How do you feel about Gallinari being out?
Oh, it doesn't bother me a ton. You should be able to win it without Gallinari.
Neil and Woburn.
But these are very bad. They happened to me.
Neil and Woburn. Go, Neil.
Thanks, guys. Everyone's upset about the over-reliance on the three, including me. I don't expect any accountability from the Celtics players, really, because it's done from the brass, in my opinion. The defiance at the podium. So I think that sets an example for the players. The other comment I want to make, though, about the three, right, is what they don't do. Why cannot Rob Williams face up at 10 feet?
Okay, well, I'll stop you there. We've been talking about that for a while. Can he develop a little bit of an offensive
game? Yeah, just get something that makes him useful in the half court other than running up high to set a pick and then running to the rim. I mean, that's it. That's the extent of his offensive game, and he's a good passer. So if you can give him something that the defense has to actually honor when he's got the ball in his hands, I mean, it opens up passing lanes. It does all kinds of stuff.
Z-Bo in California. Yes, Z-Bo.
Ma, then we make a three, ma. Good one to Jalen Brown, ma. You know, fit with Jason Tatum. Andre.
I'm going to stop. I didn't even know what he was talking. Did you understand any of that, Mass?
No, zero.
Robin Lemonster. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, a couple things. I agree with you on the Vincent stretching his leg out, leaving it there. Secondly, Hassan stole my thunder about Tatum's comment, him being a shell of himself. So I have to switch gears. Why didn't the Celtics adjust to the zone after the Philly series?
Why haven't they done it for 3 years?
You got me. I mean, I'm blown away by that one, too. So it's that simple? Just play zone and you beat the Celtics?
So like any eighth grade team could beat them? That's all you do in grammar school.
Pretty much.
Chris and Methuen, your thoughts?
Hey, guys, two quick comments. Number one, I just wanted to say Jimmy Butler earned a lot of respect for me in this series.
Good.
Huge guy. Love him. He's a dog. Number two, all I hear is a huge Boston fan. All I hear is Celtics this, Celtics that. Celtics lost this series, and the Heat absolutely deserve to win this series. The Heat are dogs. I don't know why they're an underdog against Denver. They're dogs. They're gritty, and they're coming. And the Celtics choke this away. The Heat earned it, and the Celtics blew it. Simple as that. Let's focus on next year.
For all the Heat whining I get around here, you would love that team.
Oh, they'd be so fun to root for.
You would love them. You would love them. I said this yesterday, Murray. This is what they wanted the Bridgies to be.
Yeah, right.
Tough.
Right. Yeah.
Tough, underdog, well-coached, smart, competitive, beating teams that are better than them all the way, you know, all the way to conference finals and NBA finals. Like, that's what you wanted that Bridgie team to be, and it wasn't. You would love this team. Embody everything that you want them to embody. Frankly, both Florida teams that you lost to.
Oh, right.
You would embrace. You would love. I mean, talk about two teams that play the quote-unquote right way, not to cross sports. But the Panthers, the Florida Panthers, that's how you play playoff hockey.
They are grinding it out. They are terrific to watch.
And the Heat, you would love. You would love that team.
I don't know how you don't root for Jimmy Butler at this stage with what he sort of stands for.
You're a diaper baby. That's how.
Oh.
Man, I'm not looking at you.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
The diaper babies at large.
I was going to say, because I misinterpreted what you say. I was going to say, I am rooting for him. I'm a diaper baby, and I do have a dump in my shorts.
Chris in Rochester, finish us off today, Chris. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I have had just as much time to reflect on the Celtics loss as anyone else, but I've come to two conclusions. One is if Smart makes another pass across court through the defense, I'm going to lose my mind. Why do these guys have to only take threes? Is there any rule in the book that says they have to? And two, if Jaylen Brown doesn't stop dribbling with his knees, I'm going to absolutely lose my other mind. The other thing I want to
say. That's enough losing of your mind. The thing on the threes, we gave you the answer.
Yeah, there is a rule.
Yeah, it is. The analysts determine the more threes, the better. And when
the
in doubt.
The 3-point attempt rate is the most important stat in the game of basketball.
We gave you the answer. The Celtics believe the 3-point attempt rate is the most important stat in basketball. So they go into every game saying the more threes you take, the better, which is why Charles Barkley watches them and says,
dumbass,
this team is stupid.
Yeah. Dumbass Celtics.
But that's it.
Yeah. No. Again, we were scoring, but it's not because we were making shots.
We were making layups. We were scoring too easily.
Yeah. But that one's going in the Hall of Fame.
All right.
Wow, what a comment.
Final word comes.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody.
Well, you know, I had a lot of things to get off my chest as it pertains to the Celtics. Wasn't here the last few days. Missed being able to talk about games 6 and 7. So I was back, and one of the things I did want to talk about was Jason Tatum's injury in game 7. How he's skating. Yes, real injury. Yes. But was he playing it up a bit? Yeah, I believe that too. Oh, no, I want you guys to know I'm hurt. So just, I mean, I'm here, but I just. Do you see that? The camera's.
You think he was playing it up?
I just dunked. I'm able to dunk, guys. I was able to dunk. I'm not going to take myself out of the game.
See, I'm with Murray on this. I felt the same way yesterday. I felt like he let you know it. He did. He let you know it.
Opportunity for his flu game, but you get the boo-hoo game. That's what you got from Jason Tatum. I'm here, though. I'm here. I mean, I'm good enough to be here. Hold on. It's tough for me to type.
What? I mean, what would Mac Jones and Jason Tatum sound like in the same hallway? Come on.
Hold on, let me walk by you, Mac. I'm here, though. It's tough for me to type. I got through these headlines here. It's.
Oh, it's that noise in particular I like.
All right, speaking of the headlines, guess who got first team reps today? Guess who got first team reps for the Patriots? Details here in the update. We come back. I got a hard take for you on Jaylen Brown. Don't go anywhere.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's a bunch of grab assing around.
It's the stub your toe noise.
Yeah. You do. You kind of sort of like a suck in and hiss.
Yeah.
That's great. All right, here comes the baseball hour, Maz. What do we got?
Jared Karabas, Crabgrass. Crabgrass in studio. It's Wednesday with Karabas. We got a lot to get to, starting with the black hole that is first base for the Red Sox.
Awesome. That comes your way in just 90 seconds without commercial interruption. Just an update from Murray. Then you get Karabas and Maz. We're back at it tomorrow at 2. We'll talk to you fine folks then.
See ya.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.